day when heaven was filled with his praises. One day when sin was as black as could be. Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin. He dwelt among men, my example is he. One day they led him up Calvary's mountain. One day they nailed him to die on a tree. Suffering, anguish, despised and rejected.
Amen and amen. One of these glorious day that he will return. I think we all can kind of agree that we're looking forward to that. Give me an amen and make sure the microphone's working as always, because this computer is acting a little bit crazy. I don't know why it's doing what it's doing. I guess it don't like me. Who knows? I don't understand that. But, you know, it was kind of acting a little bit on me last night, but, you know, again, hey, we're just going to go with this, so I'm glad that you are here. You know, it is Friday night, and again, we all gathered here again for another message laid upon my heart, so I'm glad that you have taken the time to be here. I don't know what happened to the other people. A few sent me some direct messages saying they couldn't make it. They're going to try to do better, but like I've been telling them, I said, look, that's between you and the Lord. You know, No one's required to be here. You're only here if you are led to be here, and that's it. You know, don't feel like you're obligated to be here. Don't feel like you're forced to be here, because I want people to fellowship together in this environment under the direct leadership of the Holy Spirit, not because they think, well, you know, I'm a member of Chad, I got to do this, I got to do that. No, I don't want this. You know, I want us to gather together with the leading of the Holy Spirit, that, you know, we gather together for this reason, to hear a message that was laid upon my heart or I was directed to. Nothing more, nothing less. All the glory, and like glorious day, all this goes back to God, not me. I'm not trying to make nothing of myself. I'm not trying to make a name for myself. I'm not trying to show people on Facebook that I can do this and that. No. As me and my dear friend Lisa was talking, right now my heart is more heavy than trying to reach Jesus to people more than anything else. More than anything else that's going on in this world, we need to start presenting Jesus now more than ever. You know, folks, I keep reiterating this, and I know a bunch of my friends here in town, they are so infatuated with so many other things, I'm hardly ever hearing Jesus come out of their mouths. And I don't get it. But here we go for this message here, because again, you know, this one was inspired church from previous Sunday. And this past Sunday that our new pastor we have at the church, he preached from the passage we're about to read a little bit later on in our reading scriptures. But he preached from this, and in his message that he's spoken to us. And he asked a question. When Jesus asked his disciples, when he asked them this question, who do you say I am? So when he turned to them, he asked them the question, who do you say I am? And here in this passage, what Jesus was doing, he was questioning them of who they said he was and what the people were saying who he was. Now, folks, look, if you're like me, you study, Jesus knew who he was. He didn't have to ask them that question, but he just wanted to see what they were hearing. He already knew. He wanted to see what they knew, not what other people were hearing. I think more importantly, in the passages and in the ones we're about to read and the ones I'm about to show you tonight, Jesus really wanted to see if they knew, those disciples, if they knew who he really was. Which brings us to the question, do we ourselves really know who Jesus is? We say we know. We say we have a relationship with him. We say that he's our Savior. I surrendered my life to him. But do you really know who Jesus is to you? Do you? And seeing our pastor then asked us the question, do we truly know who Jesus really is? And this is why I was led to the message, because, you know, when I was listening to him, and I'm a note taker, I don't know about you, but I do take a lot of notes. And a lot of times those notes end up becoming a message that I'm led to write. But, you know, when I was led to this message and I was driving home after hearing his message, I was thinking about this. When you and I, when we're speaking to people and we're telling them about Jesus, again, we need to ask, do we ourselves really know who he is? And that's what made me ponder. That really made me, you know, think. Whenever we are talking to someone about Jesus, do we really know who he is? Now, here's something for you to ponder on. And I use little illustrations at times, and I use stories in my messages. But here's something to ponder on. A preacher, he was visiting a nursing home, and they had some patients in there with Alzheimer's. So he went around and greeted the people, and he walked up to one lady and asked, do you know who I am? And she said, no, but if you go to the front desk, I'm sure they can tell you. I know that's a funny. I should have posted that on a funny for Friday's funny, but you know, I've been working all day, so you know, I don't know. Maybe it's a joke, maybe you didn't get it, you know, but anyway, if you got your Bibles, Lisa posted for you know, our reading scriptures for today will be Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 through 17. And look what it says, and this is the passage here. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they say, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you again for allowing us to gather together. Thank you, you know, for encouraging me and sending minister angels to me, you know, because this is a heavy time, you know, with some other news that's going on with things in our family and other things that's going on, you know, with my wife. And I'm sure that we can relate with the other friends that we have here. They're dealing with things too. And Father, we are constantly praying to you and we're thinking about you and we're asking for help and guidance, understanding, direction. More so than anything, wisdom. And also we need to be ministered to. I know sometimes, Father, we can't comprehend, you know, why, what's going on, the reasons behind things, or actually what's happening right now in this world. But, you know, when Jesus was asking the disciples, who do they say that I am? I wonder how many out there truly know who he really is. And God, all I can do is just ask of you that draw the people to yourself. Draw them to Jesus. Give them a chance before it's too late. Bless those who are here tonight. Watch over them. Take care of them. Help them. Love them. Direct them. Encourage them. Lift them up. And Father, I lay these folks here tonight down at your feet. This is the petition that we send to you in prayers to hear our cries. I know you do. I know you want us to be persistent in prayers. And we're going to constantly keep praying, however long it may take. But we're going to be trusting in you in all things. Father, thank you again for Jesus. Thank you for what he done for us on the cross. Thank you for saving me, a wretched old sinner that I once was. And I love you for allowing me to have the escape plan to follow. Thank you again for everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And this is why I titled the message, my friends, who is Jesus? You know, and this is a good question to ask. I mean, we read, we study, we know, we talk to friends, we attend church, we attend services. I mean, we hear everything about Jesus, but to who do we really know who Jesus really is? So in this passage that we just read, you know, here's Jesus himself. He asked the question from his disciples, not because he didn't know what the people thought or spoke of him, but here's the thing I like about this. Not because what he wanted to know what the people thought about him, but to open the door for a declaration for their comprehension. In other words, he was just trying to engage them in conversation to open that door to find out if they fully understood who he was. You see, folks, these guys were with Jesus for 3 years, day in, day out. They walked, talked, slept, ate. they were hanging out constantly, all the time. And I guarantee, you know, if you hang out with someone every day, for 3 years straight, you're going to learn a lot about that person. And I think what he was trying to do, he was trying to see if they fully understood who he really was. You know, so again, the question comes to us, who is this Jesus? So in this message, we're going to take a look at three things of who Jesus is. And I had to ponder on this. I mean, I had to dig deep because, you know, I mean, I give lots of explanations of who Jesus is. But here's where I was directed to. Three things of who Jesus is. The first thing is that Jesus is the perfect Son of Man. There's no doubt about that, folks. Jesus is the perfect Son of Man. And when he asked the question, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Notice this. Notice that Jesus used that title, Son of Man, many times in the Gospels. He used it a lot. So with this, let us consider first, what does it not mean? I wasn't going to ask you what does it mean. Let us ask what it does not mean. It does not mean that he had a biological human father. It does not mean he was merely human and not divine. Now, consider what it does mean. And what we know, what the word says in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. This is what we know that what it does mean. And look what it says. And I love this. In the beginning was the Word which is Jesus. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men also in. Wow. The light of men, folks. How awesome is that? But look, let's go a little further with this. Look what John chapter 1, verse 14 says about this. And I love this passage right here too. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Wow. But look, if you were to go deeper, if you were to go deeper into his word also tells us a bit of who Jesus was, as we even read in this passage in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Here we go. This is the word of God confirming everything that Jesus is. And look what it says. And have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Now, I would like to say to all of us, how many of us will be willing to humble ourselves to be fully obedient, even to the point of death? To the point of death of being placed on a cross. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to go that far? You think about that one. That's a tough question to ask yourself, isn't it? But notice in this passage, though, as a man, He existed in the form of God, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men, because of what he did and who he was, set him apart from all things, and because of that, God put him in the highest places. Can we do that? And for this reason also, look, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. And I love that because, see, that is what God did for him. Bestowed upon him the name which is above every name. You want the proof in the pudding? Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11 says so. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. So that at the name of Jesus, and folks, I love this part because one day, just like that song said, one day, every knee shall bow before Christ. Every. Not some, not a few. Every knee shall bow before him. But look where it goes on. It says, and at that name of Jesus, every name shall bow in heaven and on earth and even under the earth. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Wow. Every name, my friends, every name. That's awesome. So what does this mean? Simple. It means that Jesus was a flesh and bone and human being. He was. He was born of a woman, just like you and I were, except for one thing. Jesus had a mortal mother, but he had no human father to be born to a virgin, meaning he was born with the uncorruptible seed of man. Can we boast on that? No. Now, in knowing these things, knowing all we just covered so far, and if you want to kind of think like, okay, we should call this CSI Investigation Jesus. And this is what we're doing. We're investigating who Jesus really is. And I did a message on it many, 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 many years ago. And we used like a crime scene investigation because, okay, we wanted to know the who, the whys, and what and where of who Jesus was. But in this passage that we just read, what this is telling us, that in this, knowing all these things that we just covered so far, that we see his human characteristics. And they were obviously this. And this is fact because you see this in scriptures. We know from his human characteristics, he was human, he was born in the flesh, but not of man, but born of a virgin. But because he was human, he emptied himself, as we just read, so we knew that he was just like you and I. Because he wept. He got tired. He was hungry and thirsty. He was tempted at one time. He had to travel from point to point. Now, he didn't just transport himself like Star Trek and beam himself from this place to that place to this place, you know. No, that didn't happen. He had to walk just like the rest of them did at the time. And the other thing was, when he was wounded, he bled. He shed his blood. All the forms of human characteristics. Now the question is, what does this mean to me? Ask yourself while you're listening to me, what does this mean to you? Well, identification, understanding, compassion, And he lived among us as one of us to reveal what a sinless man would be. And see, folks, Christ demonstrated what it's like to live a sinless life. And that should be our role model. That should be the goal that you and I should strive for each and every day. You see, we need to get that notion out of our heads and keep calling ourselves sinners, folks. We're not sinners. We're sinners saved by grace, yes. But if we keep saying, well, I'm a sinful person, I keep sinning, well, what does that say? That tells us right off bat, then Christ is meaningless. What he did for the cross was meaningless. Now, we can't say I'm a sinless person, because if we say that according to the Bible, it says we all are. But with us having the Holy Spirit, we should be almost at times, even throughout the day, sinless. We sin only because we want to. And that may ruffle some fellas who's listening to this, you know, and I'm not trying to put nothing in your plate, you know, but if you sin because you want it to. We should not sin. We should constantly, as I said last night in our Bible lesson, we should be under the full authority of the Holy Spirit. We should be under His direct leadership. We should be submitting over to His control. We should be listening to Him. We should be following Him. We should ask Him, is this okay for me to say this? Is this okay for me to do this? Should I do this or should I not do this? But see, a lot of times we sin because we want to. We shouldn't, but we do. So again, he proved to us he can live a sinless life. So Jesus needs to be the mirror image of ourselves, and we need to strive to reach his mark. We need to be more like him. That's why Paul says, do not be imitators of me, but be imitators of him. Now, every now and then I allow myself to sin because, again, I allowed it, the flesh. Because I yielded to the flesh. I gave in to the flesh. When I should be consistently striving to be more like Him. I should follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. So when I sin, I do so because I do it on purpose. You see, folks, that's why I said it means identification. That's why I said it means understanding. That's why I said it means compassion. Because, see, what Jesus did when he took on the form of man, he lived among us. Because he had to show us what a sinless man was all about. He was perfect. And because of him being perfect, people did not recognize him. And y'all have been hanging out with me, and the Bible says, you know where I've been going at in the 15th chapter of John, of why we're being hated, because we are striving to try to live that same sinless life. We are striving to be more like the Holy Spirit. We are striving to let the light shine for others to see, because we know the truth, and we want to live the truth, and we want to be of the truth. And because we are of the truth, the world hates us. Now, listen to this story here. I like this one. You know, and this is what I'm talking about. A lot of people didn't recognize who Jesus was. But see, there was an event that took place in the late 1700s. And it was the manager of the Baltimore. I got that date wrong. I'm sorry. But it took place. But there was a manager of the Baltimore largest hotel refused lodging to a man dressed like a farmer, because he thought this fellow appearance would discredit his inn. In other words, the way the dude looked like an old raggedy farmer, man, he's going to give my place a bad image. Said, sir, we can't take you in. So the man left. But later that evening, the owner of the inn, he discovered that he turned away no other than Vice President Thomas Jefferson. Yeah, that was in the 1700s. To his dismay, he found out, wow, that was the Vice President Thomas Jefferson. So immediately he got somebody, he sent a note to Jefferson, and he asked for him, hey, please, please, come back and be a guest. But Jefferson replied by instructing his messenger as follows. Tell him I have already engaged a room. I value his good intentions highly, but if he has no place for a dirty American farmer, then he has no place for the Vice President of the United States. See, folks, like that hotel manager was like many of Jesus' own people who saw him for a carpenter, an inerrant rabbi, a rebel, a miracle worker, but they did not recognize that they were looking at the Son of Man, the incarnate God. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. If you don't, I suggest to you, find out. Get to find out what's wrong and get to know him better. The second point of who Jesus is. Jesus is the powerful Son of God. I notice the word I use, powerful, because that is exactly who he was. He was the powerful Son of God. And we know from scriptures that Peter himself even declared in Matthew 16:16. And look what he said. And we kind of mentioned that a little bit earlier. And Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You see, folks, knowing this, even in scriptures, Jesus himself claimed to be the Son of God. He frequently referred to God as Father. He claimed for himself and demonstrated divine prerogatives as he forgave sins. He took authority over demons. He healed the sick. He controlled stormy seas. He raised the dead. He fed the multitude just based on a boy's lunch of a few fish and a few loaves. He foretold the future with accuracy. He claimed to exist before Abraham. He opened a way for us to freely approach the throne. He said he would be seated at the right hand of God's throne. Folks, with all this of knowing how powerful Jesus is, now you tell me, and I would love to hear from you, you tell me who else could have done these things or made these claims to have done so? Tell me who. I'm open to any suggestions, anything that you have. Thank you, Lisa. See, nobody. I don't care what Dalai Lama says, and this religion says, and that religion says, and all these other religions says. If you read, I don't suggest you do, but I have read, many of them. I have read the Quran and all these other things, and none of them makes the claims according to the holy words that we have today. None. Nobody. So what does this mean? It means that Jesus was not just a good moral man. It means that he was not merely just a prophet or a teacher, as some claims. It means that he was not a deluded fanatic who got himself needless martyred. He was and is the only one and only begotten Son of God. Again, who else can make that claim? Who else? And that being true, our response should be to have faith and believe and trust and obey him and love him with all of our hearts, as Luke 10:27 says. And look what he said. And he answered. And these folks were asking him questions. Who are you? So to speak. So he answered them. He said, okay. And he answered, you should love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. Now, how many of us today has loved our neighbor today or yesterday or the day before? I'm not putting no one on a hot seat tonight. But with this in mind, we should tell the world and make his name known because everybody ought to know who Jesus is. We should tell all that Jesus is the Son of God who became the Son of Man, and he done this for a reason, and that was so we might know and see who God was really like. Wouldn't you have loved to have been there at that time to meet God face to face? I wish I could have been there to see God face to face, to listen to him, to walk with him, to talk with him, to fellowship with him. Wouldn't that have been awesome? But what we have known was it him. And see, that's why he asked that question. Who do they say I am? Again, he was not worried about what they were saying. He wanted to know if they knew who he was. And see, because for this reason, we should know. We should see what God is like. And that we might know what a sinless man would be like. That we might know a high priest who gets it, who comprehends, who has walked where we have walked. The Son of God became the Son of Man to stand in the gap between the divine and the human. To illustrate this, listen to the story. A man who was looking out of his front window at a flock of birds trying to find some food in the snow. He felt compassion for them, and he opened the garage door to let them in, and he put some bird seed on the floor to attract them. But not a one bird flew inside. Not a one. He went out to herd them, try to get them, together and direct them into the shed, but they merely flew away. And after a while, they were back, and he tried to hold out a handful of seed. He was trying to entice them to come into shelter, come into the garage, and no takers, not one bird. He went out at them in anger, and he shouted, "You stupid birds! Can't you see I'm trying to save you? Get in that garage!" Nope, not one. So the man thought, you know what? I wish I could become a bird long enough to let them know I mean them no harm, only good. Well, folks, this is who Jesus was. This is why he became one of us to do several things. This is why he became man. In case if you hadn't thought about this, but he became man to identify with us, to communicate with us, to rescue and save us. He is the Son of Man, the Son of God. Thus, which brings us to our third point of who Jesus was or who Jesus is. Third point, Jesus is the promised Savior, Christ. Again, I asked the question earlier, who can make this claim? Who? Who else in this world that we know can make this claim that he is the promised Savior? Thank you. We see many wackos out there who have tried, but they were nuts. Nobody out there can save you except Christ. Nobody. Now, listen. See, when Peter said, and look how he said this. Look at the wording very carefully, folks. That's why I ask you to expound on scriptures. This is why I ask you to do so. When Peter said, and look what he said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And if you notice that the word Messiah or Christ really means the anointed one, that's what the word means, the anointed one. There's no one else out there who is the anointed one. No one. In the Old Testament, prophets, priests, and kings, oh, they were anointed with oil to set them apart for special services to indicate the coming of God's Spirit upon them, yeah. But folks, Jesus, the Christ, or the Messiah, was the anointed prophet, the priest, the king, the long-awaited deliverer who would restore the kingdom to the Jews. How we know so? Listen, and I can go on all night long to a few hundred of the prophecies about Christ, but I'm just going to list a few. Listen to a few of the prophecies about Christ. Look what Moses said in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15. And he said, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen. And look what Isaiah said in Isaiah 7:14. And therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Can someone tell me what the name Emmanuel means? I want to see if anybody knows. I know some might type slow. Well, while I'm preaching, let me know what the name is, and I'll let you know if you got it right. God is with us. See? There's the claim right there. He's claiming he was God. Prophecies right there told us that one was going to be born of a virgin. And his name was going to be Emmanuel. God is with us. Duh. People still want to deny the fact Jesus is not God. Well, they're just denying Jesus altogether. But anyway, look what Daniel said in chapter 7, verse 9. And as I looked, thrones were placed, and Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head were like pure wool. His thorn, or throne, was fiery flames. Its wheels were burning fire. Now, some folks probably think, oh, Daniel there, he's kind of a little, might have smoked some of that wacky tobacco or something, whatever. No, Daniel was describing exactly who Jesus was. Daniel knew. He gave us, he foretold us, this is Christ. This is who he is. So with all that, my friends, in closing, I'm going to leave y'all with this. I'm just trying to help you understand who Jesus is. For us to think who Jesus is, what he means to us, how do we identify with him? And do we do as he calls us to do? Do we? See, I've been on that journey for the last almost 2 years now. Was I really doing what I'm supposed to be doing for Christ? I found some hardcore answers. I was not. That radically had to change. So, what does all this really mean that we just went through tonight? Why is it so important to really know who Jesus was? Easy. Here's why. Jesus is the fulfillment of all the promises of God. Of all these scriptures we just read here tonight, all that you have heard me say, if you get anything please understand this of who Jesus was. Jesus was and is the fulfillment of all the promises of God. They're true. We cannot deny the facts. People do. Plenty out in the world deny who Jesus really is. They deny that he is God. Oh, he's a teacher. He's a prophet. He's a mere man. But he's not God. I believe in God, but I don't believe in Jesus. Well, folks, ding, 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 ding. I'm sorry, but if you do not believe in Jesus, then you do not believe in God because Jesus is God. Mind blower. Yeah, the Trinity kind of really still wrecks my mind. But the fact is the facts. Jesus is God. You can't have one or the other, or the Holy Spirit. But see how we know that Jesus is the fulfillment of all the promises of God? Well, look what Paul wrote about Jesus in Titus 1:2. Paul made it very clear right here, which says, in the hope of eternal life, which God, here we go, who never lies, promised before the ages. God never lies, folks. And that promise was before the ages began. Remember what I said in John 1:1? Lisa, can you type that up? John chapter 1, verse 1. This is why Paul wrote about this. Look what it says. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And in the Word was God. Okay, can somebody type Genesis 1:1? And let's see what that has to say. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Y'all see where these correlate? They tie together. In the beginning, in the beginning, in the beginning, in the beginning. Jesus was God. Jesus was with God. Jesus was with God before all this was even created, folks. That's who Jesus was. But like Paul said here, in the hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, and there is his word, because again, his word does not lie, promised before the ages. And when we're speaking about ages, we're talking about time, folks. And time is merely a man's conception. With God, there is no such thing as time. With God, it is eternal, means forever. God was, has been, and always was. But people out there still can't comprehend that, nor will they accept it. I'm sorry then. You see, my friends, the Messiah's coming was not a secret left in a corner. No. But the repeated revelation of God to his people in the Old Testament. God showed the path. He laid down the path. He showed us Christ is the one, the Messiah. And Jesus is that promised one. He is the Messiah. He is the Christ. And that assures us, all of us, who takes the Word of God and studies it and reads it and cherishes and honors it and lives it. Because again, folks, I believe it. I believe it. And therefore, whatever it takes to strip me of these fleshly things, whatever the cost, I'm willing. Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes it's hard. But we know from scriptures he is that promised one, the Messiah, the Christ. Peter knew it. See, when Jesus asked them that question again, who do they say I am? Peter knew it. You are the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah. If anything in this message tonight, and those online listeners, if you're listening to this message, if you get anything, I want you to understand this assures us that he keeps his word, because in his word, he tells us this in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 5. And look what the word says about it. And you can't deny it. But when the fullness of time has come, And we're talking about our time. When that time has come and ended, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoptions as sons. And I have to backtrack that because, see, when he's talking about the fullness of time to come, that's when time became known to us. That's when Christ came to us in the flesh. And God knew he was going to send his son here. And because of him, those of us who truly gave our lives to him and surrendered our hearts to him, we were adopted as his sons. Now, with all this, who do you say Jesus is? Who do you say Jesus is? If you, like Peter, confess that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, you, like Peter, will be called blessed. It's not me saying it, my friends. No. That's God that says that. God never lies. We just found that out. If you acknowledge him as Christ, then repent of your sins. Surrender your life to him and follow his steps for the rest of your natural, earthly born lives. And if you are sitting here in this message, and if you are hearing this message right now, and you do not know him, you do not know who Jesus is, after all this, here's the question I'm going to ask you. What's stopping you from knowing him right now? What's stopping you? Come to Jesus and get to know him for who he really is. Amen. Let's pray.